Well, good morning. As the mass migration of kids heads to the back, if you have your Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 12. It's been an interesting week. And it's amazing to me to see how a sovereign God has been lining up the scriptures for us the week we need it. I think about the last 2 weeks and just what all has been transpiring in our world, and yet God ordained, like I was looking, this is message like number 55 for me in Luke, right? So that means over a year ago, there's other guys preached as well, but just my messages, I got 55. So over a year ago, God sovereignly lined up the text to fall where they have fallen. And that's an encouragement for me, especially in the midst of all the chaos and the craziness and fear. It's been encouraging and comforting to know that God is still in control, that God is still looking out for you and for me. Even in the midst of everything going on with this virus that's spreading, as a counselor, I spend most of my weeks on a normal week working with people who are very anxious. As you can imagine, this week was a little bit more difficult for me to work with some people who are already anxious just when things are normal, and then you add in all this hysteria and like just thrown overboard. And then I have another group of people that I work with that are very paranoid. And they believe in every conspiracy theory. Even when there's no conspiracy, they got a theory for, you know, why the world is round and why we should not be wanting the world to be round. I'm telling you, there's a conspiracy theory for everything in the world. And again, this week, I'm reminded as I'm busy trying to explain to them that all of these closings aren't part of some big conspiracy. There's this thing called flattening the curve, and let me explain to you the science of it. And then, inevitably, you have another group of people that you always have to deal with when anything comes onto the world scene the way this virus has come onto the scene. And that's people who have these mystical insights to how this relates to biblical prophecy. And they want to take me to the book of Revelation, and they want to show me how this is one of the plagues being poured out on the nations. And they like to point to the text that we're going to look at this morning as one of those texts for why we should be paying attention to all this end time prophecy that somehow they have figured out and nobody else has. And it's always interesting because this is how, if you ever wonder how I'm going to be concerned, is if 10 of them come saying the same thing, then I'm going to be like, okay, God, are you trying to tell me something? But when all 10 come with 10 different interpretations and 10 different sets of reasons, it's like, yeah, maybe this isn't what the Lord is trying to tell us here. But as long as people have been reading texts like ours today, where Jesus commands us to be ready, they've been trying to deduce when they would need to be ready, right? So rather than just being ready, They waste a lot of time and spend a lot of time trying to figure out when is the time that I should be ready for the Lord's coming, sadly missing the entire point of our text today. If they would have spent all that energy that they had spent trying to figure out when to be ready, doing what the text says, they would have been far, far better off. So in this passage, when we read be ready and keep watch, it's not a command for us to try to figure out the signs of the time and try to determine whether the coming of Christ is sooner rather than later. In this passage, Jesus is clearly wanting to move us to live in a particular way. After all, Jesus makes it crystal clear that no one knows when he is coming. So in this passage, Jesus gives us a series of illustrations of what it means to be ready. Before we read it, let me kind of break it down for you so that as we read it, you can kind of see the four illustrations that he gives us in the first few verses. If you'll notice in verse 35, it says, stay dressed for action. Now, that's a very graphic word picture for the original reader, maybe not so much for us, right? We live in a time in which our clothing has become incredibly functional, right? We don't like to wear things typically, except for maybe really formal events that constrict our movement in any way, right? We want to be able to get away whenever we want to be able to get away, right? So maybe again, there might be some ladies here who would have some trouble running long distances in their shoes, but for most of us, we're wearing clothes that are ready in a moment's notice to move. But that wasn't the case for men, especially in this period of time, because their garments would have included a long, flowing robe. Now, it's kind of like running in a long pencil skirt, right? It kind of impedes the motion a little bit. And so when they were getting ready to run, a man would kind of hike that up, and he would wrap the long part around his waist and tie it tightly. Have you ever read the phrase in the Bible, to gird your loins, and wondered where it came from? Well, this is where that expression comes from. It was a well-known practice in the Near East. And so Jesus is saying, be ready, and what does that mean? It means stay dressed for action. Be ready to spring into action at a moment's notice. It's not a word about trying to figure out when exactly he's coming. It's about whether you're living ready to serve him. He even uses the language of being dressed to serve of himself later on. Be dressed to serve. It's talking about this attitude that pervades the way we approach life. That we're always ready to be serving the purposes of Jesus Christ in our world. And then in verse 35, he uses this next picture, keep your lamps burning. Now again, in Jesus' day, when the sun went down, it was dark, right? There wasn't all this other ambient light coming from all of these other places. There were no street lights. There were no cars driving by. When the sun went down, it got dark. Some of you, you know, you think about all these early risers that you read about in history. You know why they rose so early? Because when the lights went out, the lights went out, right? And so they just went to sleep. There was nothing else. I can't read, so I'm just going to go to bed. Get up early, crack of dawn, right? So if you live in that world, if you live in that time, any light that you had would have to be prepared, right? So you would have to have plenty of oil for those lamps. You'd have to have the wicks trimmed. You'd need to be ready to go at a moment's notice. And so when he says, keep your lamps burning, he's talking about an attitude of life which is prepared to serve. And then verse 36, he changes the illustration again. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. So these people are expectantly waiting for this wedding party to return, for the master of the house to return from this wedding feast, so that the moment that he comes back, the moment that he comes through the doors, they're ready to spring to action and welcome him home. All of these pictures, Jesus is not painting one where they're trying to figure out the future, but instead they're living in such a way that whenever he returns, they're ready for that return. And then he continues on into two blessings that he gives us in the next couple of verses. There are two blessings that are pronounced in verses 37 and 38. In verse 37, he says, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. So we're told, here's another way that you're ready. You're awake. You're not asleep. You're not asleep at the wheel, so to speak. You're ready for him to come back. The way that you are living has made you prepared for his return. And then in verse 38, if he comes in the second watch or in the third, even if he comes in the middle of the night when other folks are asleep, you're ready. So let's read together as a church, verses 35 through 48. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from a wedding feast, so that open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come. So if he comes in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if your master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager who the master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did not deserve a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom much, they will demand the more. All right. So in this passage, Jesus is giving two warnings. The first warning is for leaders, for people like me, to be ready. But what is readiness, right? What does it mean to be ready? Right? Does it just mean to wash your hands? Is that what it means this week, right? It's what we were told to be ready. We had to wash our hands. We had to do these steps to prevent the spread of this disease, right? There's practical things that you have to do to be ready. This is a mindset, an attitude, and a practice for us as leaders to always be looking out for the well-being of the church. And for all of us, it means a mindset in which we are determined to do the will of God. To live in such a way that we are going and doing His will. We see this very clearly in this passage. It's always interesting. Peter is one of those guys that I think teachers would hate, right? Some of you are teachers, and you've all had students like Peter, right? You know the kids that I'm talking about. They're the ones that right in the middle of whatever profound lecture you're giving, you're giving this incredible, you're just imparting your knowledge to the next generation, and you just like, you think you're really making an impact, and this is the kid whose hand goes up and basically says, excuse me, is this going to be on the test, right? In other words, do I have to pay attention to this? I've got other things I'd rather be thinking about, and you're giving this lecture, and I just need to know, like, does this really matter in the long run? That's what Peter's doing here in our passage. Jesus is sharing and preaching this profound message, and Peter asks, like, God, is this going to be on the test? Like, do I need to be paying attention? Do I need to be listening to this? That's basically what Peter is asking here. Are you saying this for us, or are you saying this for the benefit of the inner circle of the disciples, or is this something for everyone? Is this something that you want us to learn, or is this just some general saying that you're giving for the entire crowd here today? And Jesus, he doesn't answer Peter's question. And I think in some ways, that is probably God showing grace to Peter, right? Because if Jesus had answered that question very directly, it probably wouldn't have ended well for Peter, okay? But notice Jesus is interesting in the way that he responds. And a lot of times when you ask Jesus a question, have you ever noticed how he responds? He typically responds by asking you another question. Now, usually what that means is that your question wasn't that good. And so he answers it by not answering your question, but instead he says something else that's kind of related to get you back to asking a better question. But watch how Jesus answers questions, guys. When you're reading through Scripture, pay attention to how Jesus is responding to people and responding to situations. Because the way that he answers questions always points you to the truth and what he thinks, what Jesus thinks that you need to know. So look at what Jesus says in response here. Who then is the faithful and wise manager? Okay, he's going to tell you who it is. It's the person that's ready, right? That's who that is. So Jesus is going to tell us what it means now to be ready. And again, because we're paying attention to how Jesus answers questions, we should be taking notes, right? This is where Peter should be like flipping out, like, let's write this down. Like, we need to remember this. So who is the one who's ready? He's the one who does what? He's the one that when the householder goes away, he gives to the household their food at the proper time. Now, you understand that's an answer to Peter's question. Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter, I'm going to go away, and in the hands of you disciples, I'm going to leave my sheep. And while I'm away, here's what I want you to do. I want you to feed my sheep. Clearly, Peter didn't get this lesson the first time. There was a detention that he had to go to, if you will, and get some remediation on this, where Jesus told him over and over and over, feed my sheep. But he's telling them here, I want you to feed them. Feed them the word of grace. I want you to give them the means of grace so that they can come to know the gospel. I want you to take care of their souls. You're not to use them. I want you to serve them. I want you to be thinking about them, thinking about their spiritual well-being. I don't want you to get rich off them. I don't want you to take advantage of them. I want you to live your life in such a way that you're feeding them. You're serving them. You're caring for them. You're looking after them. That's what it means for you, Peter, to be ready. And you see, the application of that comes very close to home. It's very directly focused to those of us who are pastors and elders, because that's what we're called to do. That's what Scripture commands us to do. And here's the thing. We're not just called from 8 to 5. As a pastor and an elder, as a deacon, there's no shifts. This isn't shift work. You're called to serve in those roles all the time. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Whether we're full-time pastors or an elder or a deacon who have other mouths to feed and other jobs to work and other concerns to take care of, it doesn't matter what our job outside of ministry looks like. We as elders, pastors, deacons, we must live in such a way that our prime concern is to seek the well-being of the flock that God has put us over. And at this point, church, I would encourage you. You may be sitting here going, whew, glad that's not my calling, right? But I would encourage you this morning, pray for your pastors and your deacons and your small group leaders, that we would do this, that we would live in such a way that our prime concern is that these people will be fed and taken care of that God has placed us in charge of, that we would be nourishing and feeding them the word of God regularly, that we would be protecting them from wolves that would come in and seek to pick them off. As we seek to help people who are lonely and isolated, who need encouragement to get through the trials and the tribulations in this life. Pray for us. And Jesus very clearly in this passage says, when I come, the way that the servant fares that I've left to take care of my flock will depend on how good a job he's done. And he uses some very striking and strong language here. But this is not some exception that we find in the Bible. This is not just some one-off, that this is the only place we find it. In Hebrews 13, verse 7, the author of Hebrews is giving an exhortation to the church to obey your leaders and to submit to those whom the Lord has placed over you. And then he says in verse 17, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. In other words, the author of Hebrews is saying, on that last day, those pastors and elders are going to stand hand in hand before the judgment throne of God, and they will give an account as to whether they have lived their lives in such a way. That is their prime focus. That Jesus' church was fed the word of God. That they protected them from spiritual wolves. That they served in their hours of need. And that they shepherded well. And that's something, as pastors and elders and deacons and those who want to become them, that you need to bear in mind all the time. There will be a day when we will give an account for every one of you. And we want to live in such a way that no matter when Jesus comes, no matter when that day is, that we are doing what he told us to do. That we are faithfully preaching the word of God. No matter what our culture says, no matter what the world says, that we are faithful in caring for those that he has placed in our charge. Shepherding, encouraging, guiding, protecting, and doing the things that he has said for us to do. So that's how Jesus answers Peter. That's what being ready looks like for a leader in the church. And again, some of you are sitting here this morning going, well, that's good to know. Now I can watch the pastors and elders and deacons, and I can watch them, and I can see, are they doing what the Bible says? But you didn't get off that easy, because Jesus also gives a warning to everyone else. This passage isn't just for the disciples. It's not just for pastors and elders. It's for every one of us. And we see that in verse 48. And this has been a verse that God has just been really driving into me for the last probably about year and a half. Jesus says in verse 48, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Now Jesus is establishing a principle here. And I want you to see why he didn't answer Peter's question directly. Both Jesus was speaking both to his disciples, but he was also speaking to the crowd as well. He had a specific message in these stories for his disciples and for those who would later become pastors, elders, and deacons who are going to be given charge over the flock. And that message was, I want you to be ready, and this is the way that I want you to be ready. Feed my sheep. Make sure they get the word of God. Make sure they're fed the rich meat of the word of God. Protect them. Shepherd their souls. And that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. But he's also speaking to all of us this morning. And for us all, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, how then are we all to be ready, like Jesus says in this passage? Well, it's very clear how that is to be done. It's by not looking out for ourselves, but by being concerned for the well-being of another. Notice how he describes the bad servant in this passage. Look at verse 45. My master is delayed. He starts to beat the other servants. He starts to eat and drink. He hogs the food. He hogs the wine to himself to the point that he gets fat and drunk. And what does Jesus say? The master's going to come when that servant's not expecting it, and he's going to cut him to pieces. So what are we called to do? What are we called to do as a local church? To live a self-renouncing love toward one another. We are to be self-giving toward one another. We're told to love our neighbors, and that includes everyone. That includes believers and unbelievers alike, but especially in the context of the church. We are to live a life of selfless service toward others. Listen to the language Jesus uses in this passage. Verse 47, he's speaking of a servant who knew his master's will, but didn't do it. Listen to what he says. He did not get ready. Verse 47, or act according to his will. Do you see what Jesus is saying there? What's going to be the basis on which we are judged when the Lord comes? Did we do what he said? Did we do what he told us to do? And that's exactly the language you get in the Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus' words there. He says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Notice he didn't say, teach them to know all the things I commanded you. He didn't say, teach them to memorize all the things that I've commanded you. But to what? Teach them to do what I have commanded you. Teach them to live it out, to observe what I have commanded you. And so who are the people, according to Jesus in this passage, that are the faithful servants in the local church? They're the people who are doing what Jesus told them to do. They're actually living out the command. They're not just the people who know the command and can tell the command to everyone, but they're the ones who are actually living out the selfless love that God calls us to live. And in this passage, it is especially those who are not living for themselves, but living for others' well-being. Now, that is a huge, huge challenge for every single one of us here this morning. Because all of you come in this morning and you have been thinking about so many different things. You have so many things that you are focusing on and you are trying to do. Maybe you're trying to get ahead in school, or you're trying to get ahead in your career. But for those of you this morning that have professed faith in Jesus Christ, are you living in such a way that you are actually showing love to one another? Or are you just thinking about yourself? Do you ever sit around and think about, you know, there's somebody in my own church or my own small group who's incredibly lonely and isolated? And then ask yourself, how am I ministering to them? How am I serving them? Or are you so happy and satisfied because you've already got a group of good friends that they may love you and Jesus, and that's great. And you come every week and you gather together and you go out to eat, and it's great to see them. Sometimes you even get together throughout the week. But you're not thinking about people with big problems that are right here within the church or within your small group. People who are facing huge obstacles in their life. People that struggle with loneliness in our very midst. Jesus says, when I come, faithful servants are going to be ready. And the way that they're ready is that they're going to be living lives that are all about serving one another, looking out for one another. Self-renouncing love, other-focused love. That's freedom. That's liberty. A life of self-renouncing love is what God is calling us to. Do we live like that, or is our life filled up with a lot of other stuff? So I just want to close this morning by asking you this question. Are you ready? Are you ready? And here's what I want to challenge you for the rest of your life. Whenever you hear those words, are you ready? I want you to hear Jesus asking you that question. Are you ready for me to come? So every time you hear somebody say, are you ready? Right? Maybe a husband to a wife, wife to a husband, parents to kids. Every time you hear, are you ready? I want you in your mind to add, for me to come. And hear Jesus asking that question. Are you living so that when I come, I find you encouraging one another, loving one another, serving one another, helping one another, making sure that we're not just living for ourselves, but that we're living for God. Encouraging one another that, as we looked at last week, that there is more to life than food and clothing and houses and wealth and all that other stuff that just clutters up life. Ultimately, guys, this morning, life is about knowing Christ and sharing Christ and seeing people grow in grace and being built up from every tribe and tongue and people and nation and seeing people come to faith in Christ. Seeing people that are lonely and isolated become a part of a family. And this is how a family lives. They care for one another. They don't just think about the individual. And so again, I ask, are you ready? If Jesus says, are you ready? Are you living like you're ready for me to come again? Every one of us needs to ask that question. And by God's grace, I hope he can enable us to answer it honestly, that yes, Lord, we are living to serve you. That as leaders, that we're living to serve the church that we are called to. And that we are all living to serve his gospel. But if you can answer that in that way, you can only answer it by grace. Because by nature, we're selfish. By nature, all we do is think about ourselves. If you don't believe that, just think about every time somebody has coughed this morning. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father,